Please turn to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1. Proverbs 29, verse 1. We'll look at this verse as we confess our sins this morning. This is the word of God. He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. This is God's word for us. This proverb describes the dangerous condition of having a stiff neck, or what we also describe in the Bible as a hard heart, a heart that will not receive the corrections of God's word. And it says that at times the Lord will bring a sudden and swift consequence to that rejection of wisdom. The Lord is very patient. He is patient with all of us, and he is patient even with those who reject his word. And yet there are times where his judgment will come. And that's what this proverb describes. I want to tell you a story where the truth of this proverb was illustrated in living color for us. By God's grace, this particular example was used to change the course of a man's life back to God and away from his rebellious ways. This is a story from the youth of the missionary to Burma, Adoniram Judson. Adoniram, who many of you have probably heard of before, was raised in a Christian home in New England in the 1800s, and he went to college in Rhode Island, to Rhode Island College, later Brown University. And there at Rhode Island College, he rejected the faith of his parents. He turned away from it. And he was influenced by a young man named Jacob Eames. Jacob Eames was his friend there at Rhode Island College, and Jacob was a deist. Jacob believed that there was a God. That's what deists believe. And yet deists believe that God has nothing to do with this world. We are not accountable to him. And this is a very attractive religion for a rebellious young man to adopt, because on one hand he can say God exists, sure, and yet he can do whatever he'd like. There's no accountability. There's no relationship with this God who's created all things. So Adoniram and Jacob built their friendship, and they made plans of glory for themselves, and in their pride they thought of themselves as better than others. And so Adoniram returned home after college to tell his parents of his newfound faith and about how he had rejected the faith of his parents, the Christian faith. His father urged him to repent, encouraged him, and said, "Son, please return. Please return to the faith." And yet Adoniram stiffened his neck and would not receive his father's counsel. He left home, journeyed westward into New York State, joined a group of actors, and lived a rebellious life. They'd often go into these inns and use it for the night and then leave without paying the bill. But one night, the Lord mercifully sent a very powerful warning to Adoniram. He stopped at a country inn one night, and the owner of the inn offered Adoniram a room next to another room where a young man was ill and dying. And the owner told Adoniram, "I hope this will not bother you to be in this room next to this dying young man. I wouldn't want you to have to deal with this." And he said, "Oh, it'll be fine. I'll be okay." And yet he wasn't okay. The entire night, as he listened to the groans of this young man, he was suffering. He was drawn to think about eternity. He said to himself, "Am I ready to meet God with these new beliefs of mine?" And so he stayed awake all night. But the next morning, as he gathered his things and he began to depart, he asked the innkeeper how things were with this young man. Was he okay? Had he recovered? And the man said, "Oh no, he died last night." Adoniram said, "Well, who was the young man?" And the man said, "Oh, he was a young man from Rhode Island College. His name was Eames, Jacob Eames." And that night, little did Adoniram know, in the next room, his best friend was dying and died that very night. For both of these young men, they had probably received rebukes and correction about their path in life. And for one of them, that consequence came swiftly in a night. And yet for Adoniram, in God's grace, it was a humbling time where he was shocked and driven to repentance by this sobering event. Now, my point in giving you this story is to tell you that there are times where the Lord will send us major warnings to wake us up. And those are merciful warnings when he does that. But there are a lot of times where they're not the big wake-up calls. We get corrections. We get counsel from elders. We get counsel from parents or from friends to go in another direction. And when we receive those things, it is a mercy of God that we receive such correction. Through these warnings, the Lord is mercifully warning us about the consequences of our sin. He calls us back to himself and he says, I've given you my son. He's died for the sins of the world. Turn from this course of action. Repent and find forgiveness in Jesus. But there are some who hear the warnings many times over and they stiffen their neck until it is finally broken and there is no remedy thereafter. Now, every time I read that story, I think, Lord, give me a soft heart that will always receive those rebukes. I do not want that hard heart that will just turn away from every counsel and find myself in a path of destruction. Now, we don't want to come to this story thinking, God, I thank you that I am not like Jacob Eames. That would not be the right response to the story. If we're humble, we instead say, are there times that I harden my heart like this young man? That I don't receive the word of God? Do I have a soft heart, a heart that is receptive to correction? Now, I want to explain to you what the difference is between a hard heart and a soft heart. What does a soft heart look like? The language that's used in Scripture of the hard heart is varied. You have that phrase, hard heart. You have the phrase, stiffening the neck in this proverb. And then you have this phrase, heart like a flint. It's like a hard rock that nothing can break through. You're impenetrable to correction. But a soft heart takes in the word of God. Here are a couple of differences between the hard heart and the soft heart. The hard heart actively resists the word of God. The soft heart invites the word of God. The hard heart does not fear God. The soft heart trembles at the word of God. The hard heart scoffs at God's word, treats it as rubbish. The soft heart treats the word of God as the greatest treasure. The hard heart does not want correction of any kind. The soft heart earnestly desires correction regularly. The hard heart treats godly counselors, such as elders, friends, parents, as obstacles in their life. The soft heart treats them as gifts from God to be received. Now, if we have received God's grace, we must walk in humility. This is one of the callings of the Christian life, is to be humble. And to be humble means we will receive correction. We see, I think, a picture of the soft heart wonderfully pictured in the life of King Josiah. You remember when the book of the law was brought out, having been lost for decades, or maybe even longer, the word is read to Josiah. And how does he respond when that word is read? This is found in 2 Chronicles 34, verses 26 and 27. And this is the response to Josiah's tenderness. It says, but as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, in this manner you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard. Because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and against its inhabitants, and you humbled yourself before me, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, says the Lord. This is the one to whom God will look, brothers and sisters, the one who is humble, contrite, and trembles at the word of God. This is what Josiah did. When the word of God came to him, immediate tenderness, softness. He received the word. He wept. He tore his clothes. He did not resist the word of God. This is what it looks like to have a soft heart. So this morning, then, we confess that at times we have stiffened our necks. We've resisted the word of God. And you know what happens? You know when we do this is when the correction hits closest to home. That's when we stiffen our necks most often. When somebody hits the sin that is most precious to us, the area of our lives that we do not want to change, that's when we stiffen the neck. And that's where we most need humility, brothers and sisters. That's where we need this softness to the Word of God and the corrections that it brings. And if our hearts are soft, we will desire that every stronghold of sin be destroyed. We will want those things exposed. You will love the exposure of your own sin to the corrections of God's Word. And so it's my prayer that it will not take an event like the death of Jacob Eames to get us to listen up, but that we will listen now, that our hearts will be soft now to the Word of God. And let's pray for that right now. Heavenly Father, we come to you through our mediator, Jesus Christ, asking for your forgiveness. We do confess that we have hardened our hearts just as Israel did in the wilderness when they would not receive your words. Forgive us, O Lord, for our tendency to defend ourselves rather than to humble ourselves. We ask that you'd give us soft hearts, humble hearts that tremble at your word. May we have a fear of you, a reverence for you, recognizing that you are merciful, you are patient with us, and that we would soften our hearts and to be tender to your word. Give us such a hatred of sin that we would love to see our sinful flesh exposed for what it is and destroyed. Give us a love of righteousness that we would long for these things rather than defending ourselves. This would be our desire, is an increase of righteousness. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.